Now, imagine that Ned Kelly had a son who went to Gallipoli and who somehow ended up stranded there, living a life in a small Turkish village. And imagine that meanwhile, some of the villagers migrated to Australia. That's only part of what's going on in Jenny Ackland's novel, The Secret Son. It embraces a huge time period right from the 1880s through to 1990. Jenny Ackland is talking to Kate Evans.
Jenny, although this is a novel tied to Australian mythology and set partly in Australia, most of it is in Turkey. Why Turkey?
That's right. Why Turkey? It's a good question. Probably the easiest answer is that I was married to a Turkish man for 10 years, and over that time spent quite a bit of time in the country. I spent time there as a young backpacker when I first met him in 1990. I spent time there as a new bride, and I spent time there also as a new mother because we have a daughter together. So over those 10 years, spending a lot of time there, falling in love with the place, essentially, and the people and the food and so on. So that's why Turkey.
Well, let's go to the linking person then. Tell us about James.
So James is a young man living in Beechworth in country Victoria. He's a thoroughly decent young man living with his mother on her country property, and they're beekeepers and they keep very much to themselves.
When is this?
And this is set in the late 1800s across the turn of the century. So he's the historical character. There are two storylines in the novel. One is historical, one is more contemporary. And he is living a quiet life there until things take a turn and he finds himself heading to Melbourne and beyond.
There is some mystery about his parentage. What does he know?
Well, he knows very little about his father. He is growing up fatherless. He knows that his mother is very secretive around that topic. And like I said before, they keep to themselves on the property. They don't have much to do with other people. So because he doesn't know very much, he imagines all the sorts of types of man that his father might have been. Explorer, king, gold prospector is another thing that he thinks of. So I suppose because there's that space for him to imagine, he does imagine. And he only imagines good things that his father might have been.
And just to leap through the chronology of James's life, and there's more than one chronology interweaved into each other in the novel. James serves in World War One.
Yes.
How does he end up stranded in Turkey?
Just on the idea of James going to Anzac Cove and being involved in the Gallipoli campaign, I wanted to do that a bit differently, so I chose a battalion for him to go with, the 21st Battalion, and they arrived later in the campaign. They arrived in about September, and it was a quieter time by all accounts. So James does end up getting left behind, and there was a young soldier named Pollard who did fall asleep in the trench during the evacuation, but he was jerked awake right at the last minute, went creeping down to the beach and was gathered into the last group of men and made it out on the boat. And I was thinking to myself, well, what if he had stayed asleep? What if he had been left behind? And I guess it's those what-if questions that can really lead someone in their writing to all sorts of crazy ideas, and some might work, some might not work. But that's where I got that idea. There was a young man called Pollard who fell asleep.
So, Jenny, some Australian soldiers, and only about 200 of them, were taken prisoner of war by the Turks. This didn't happen to James. He ends up in a mountain village. How would you describe that village? It has a real complex web of characters in it, doesn't it?
It does, it does. The village is called Hayat, which in Turkish means heart, and it is a fictional village. I made it up, and I made all the characters up as well. But like I said earlier, spending quite a lot of time in Turkey over the period when I was married, I got to know people and I was in environments that were if not village, were very village-like. I was also inspired a lot by the works of one of Turkey's famous writers, Yaşar Kemal. In about the year 1999 or 2000, I read a trilogy of his which describes a Turkish village. It's concerned with these villagers, and they are cotton gatherers. So every year when the cotton harvest is ready, they travel down to the Çukurova Plains and gather in cotton. And I loved this story. So in many ways, my book's a tribute to that in some ways. And the villagers often were inspired by reading that trilogy.
Well, there's a lot going on in the novel because it also feels as though it's a tribute to all sorts of connections between Australia and Turkey. So James ends up living and becoming part of this village. But then there's also part of the family story that ends up back in Australia. So who is Jem?
So Jem is a young Turkish-Australian man who's the child of migrants, Turkish people who came to Melbourne and settled there, and his grandfather is with them, living in the family home in Melbourne. And his story, I suppose, kicks off when he decides to go and visit his parents' village in Turkey, and it's much against the wishes of his grandfather.
And this is the same village that James was in?
It is the same village. So this is the point of connection, I suppose, yeah.
And what is Jem looking for? He seems a bit lost.
He is lost. He's a young man starting out. He's adrift. And he's grown up listening to his grandfather's stories about the village and about the villagers and how wonderful a place it was. And this is why he's confused when he announces his intentions to go to the village. He's very confused because his grandfather flips around and says, "What? Why do you want to go? No, no, you mustn't go." So I guess that often when young people are told not to do something, they become more determined too. And I think that's really what it is for Jem. He doesn't necessarily go there looking specifically for something, but he's probably wanting independence from his family, and he does feel that everybody seems to know what type of man he is, but he doesn't. So he's I guess, on a journey for identity.
So Jem is looking for something amorphous, something rather hard to pin
down.
Yes,
yep.
But on the way, he meets a man named Harry who is looking for something much more concrete. What is Harry, an Australian, what is Harry looking for?
Harry's had this wild theory that Ned Kelly had a secret son who went and fought at Gallipoli and got left behind and settled in Turkey. So Harry is in pursuit of evidence that this happened.
Why did you need Ned Kelly to hang the novel on? Because it works just as well without Ned Kelly. So what does Ned Kelly mean to you?
That's a good question. Anyone writing a novel about Gallipoli these days, it's fairly risky. It risks alienating maybe as many readers as attracting. And the same with Ned Kelly. Ned Kelly, Peter Carey did Ned Kelly. Lots of people have written about Ned Kelly. So I suppose it was a challenge to myself as a writer to see if I could pull it off, if I could take not one but two of Australia's sacred cows and mash them together and see if it worked. The other thing too is that with the Ned Kelly storyline, I wanted to look at or explore the idea of him as something other than the conventional binary of whether he was thief and killer versus folk hero. And in my research, I came across suggestions that he was possibly involved in trying to set up a republic of northeastern Victoria. So it occurred to me that maybe this person and his associates were political rebels. And so I popped that in there as well.
It feels to me as a reader too that regularly using the Turkish spelling of the place Gallipoli forces us to think about it in a different way. And I presume that was a very self-conscious choice about naming the place.
Because I've got a daughter who's half Turkish, half Australian, and she's just turned 19. But when she was a little girl in primary school and Anzac Day was coming up and the teacher, they were talking about it. She was maybe grade four or grade five. And she said to the teacher and to the class, Australians lost, we won, or my people won. And it was quite confronting, I think, for the teacher. So I've been having conversations with her since she was little about this, the different perspectives of history, and that, of course, for the Turks, it was an invasion, even though it was a part of the First World War, the campaigns going on around the world. But for the Turkish people, it was an invasion, and it was a victory that they achieved. So the idea of presenting alternative perspectives to a history that we may have only viewed in one way, that did appeal as well, definitely.
And Jenny Ackland's novel of Turkey and Australia is called The Secret Sun. It's published by Allen and Unwin, and she was speaking there to Kate Evans.